둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahan, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by SoundMind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, and then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
I'm Lior Phillips, host of This Must Be The Gig. We're a weekly podcast that documents everything about the world of live music. Speaking with choreographers, costume and set designers, the people who run beloved venues and festivals, and, of course, speaking with musicians about that one gig that changed their lives. Get your peek behind the curtain at consequenceofsound.net, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Take our moment before we get in here to do the business, right? First, I want to say hi to all of you subscribers. Thank you so much for checking out the series every week. With the new interviews arriving every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, appreciate all the comments that you left around in the various spots that you might be listening to. If you haven't taken the moment to give the series a rating, that's always a huge help. You can always give it a review or again, just say hi. And if you're not a subscriber, it's the best way to keep up with what your favorite artists are up to. So grab that preferred listening device and head to wherever you grab things that download or stream to your preferred device and hit that subscribe button. We will deliver these things straight to your earbuds multiple times weekly. I'm Kyle Meredith, and today my guest is the band Blitz Vega. So this is Andy Rourke, who a lot of you will know as the founding bassist for The Smiths, and Kev, K-E-V, an artist who the headlines will tell you was a part of the Happy Mondays during the reunion shows in the early 2000s. Both are DJs, both are longtime friends, and after knowing each other for a handful of years, they finally got together and created Blitz Vega. So Kev and Andy are going to tell us that whole origin story and how mashing up all of their influences has created really cool sound. I mean, it's rock, it's dance, it's a bit psychedelic. So we'll hear about that. Andy, you know, this is the first project he had done since the band Dark. That was a project that he was doing with Dolores from the Cranberries as she passed away. So we'll hear how that influenced the project as well. And the connections to the musical past. The vintage gear used by Bowie himself during the Ziggy Stardust years, recording at Abbey Road, and the weight of a building with that much history. The process of recording live and what goes into that, and the song. So far, there are three singles. Hey Christo, Lost and Found, L.A. Vampire. We'll get the stories behind Lost and Found and L.A. Vampire. And then what to expect next. You've got a trio of singles out. Where do they go from here? We're going to get that as well. So let's jump into it. Talking with Andy Rourke and Cav, it's Kyle Meredith with Blitz Vega.
Hi, Kyle.
Blitz Vega, you've got three singles out. They have been some of the coolest tracks I have heard all year, and I'm not blowing smoke your all's way. This is some really exciting music that you're both doing. I know this is probably getting to be the least part of the interview, but I would love to hear the creation story of how the band came about. What brought you all together?
I was obviously distraught about the passing of Dolores and my band. And was just very disillusioned for probably 5-6 months. And Cab was one of the first people that sprang to mind that I'd like to work with and do something.
Andy, I'm sure there's no drought of people that would even want to work with you and to have your selection like that. I mean, what did you see in Cab that was exciting for you?
I don't know. From our initial meeting, we always had this spark, and we always had this idea that, yeah, we're going to make some music together at one time. And the moment was never perfect. And, we met at Coachella again, and, the stars were aligned. And, we made some definite plans, and, I started making trips to L.A., which I found exhilarating, even if it was just to get out of New York. But I was obviously excited to do some work with Cal. And then we did some recording at Abbey Road, and we built a great band that sounds fantastic.
I think that just really sort of made us fall in love with making music, again, if we had fell out of love with it, which I don't think, we had, but it was just exciting, and it still is, and it's just great. So, that was it. We were just bouncing off each other and, having such a great band to play with as well. They really good people to play with. So it's a band that's created for, I suppose, it's a musician's band, not in the fact that, you're up your own, arse or anything kind of, trying to do like a 10-minute bass solo or anything like that, but it's like it's just the vibe of playing with good musicians, and you just enjoy it, and that's kind of it.
Does the I do pick up a bit of a psych sound, a little bit of a psychedelic song sound through the music. Does that come natural for you all, or was that any bit of intentional?
That was the mushrooms.
That was the mushroom.
I think it's just, to be honest, the sound that, we're creating is just natural. It's just there. So all the bands we've been influenced by over the years, all the bands we've probably listened to, we're constantly observing everything that surrounds us. And, from a writing point of view as well, from a lyrical point of view, they're all experiences, day-to-day kind of experiences, so it's just that's what it is. So There's no sort of overthinking, and I think that was key. That was really important to us, to just make music that came naturally without sort of, you know, a crazy master plan or anything behind the sound. I think there's a lot of that that goes on, you know, these days with labels and, you know, people putting stuff together or whatever. There's a project, there's a, like a game plan to it all, and really for us it's just, you know, excuse the cliche, but it is really just about the music, you know, and that's it.
But I think, you know, our overall intention was to, I don't know, just take things to the limit, you know, make the music extreme and shout it out loud.
Andy, you know, you had mentioned, you know, coming off of Dark and the horrible loss of Dolores. You know, when you go into a project like this then and talking about, you know, going about the music in the way that you did, did that experience specifically put you in a certain space for the music that you would create here?
I'm pretty sure, yeah, it had an impact, yeah, and still does. You know, it makes you value the people that you work with as musicians. Yeah, it's like a relationship. It is a relationship. And so, you know, when I lost Dolores, you know, yeah, like Luca, you know, losing a relation. So I suppose you have to value more the relationship that you have with the people that you work with.
It's an album with, it's seemingly, at least how I perceive it, you know, with connections to the past, which, as I understand, right down to the equipment used. When you talk about, like, I like hearing you guys talk about the equipment, because it seems like you center in on that one thing, that Ziggy Stardust mixing board. What's the story? Because when I'm thinking of, like, equipment, it's just a piece of equipment or whatever, but there's something magical about that, right?
Definitely, there's magic in all equipment, you know. You know, especially when you're using vintage gear that's had so many people, like obviously the Ziggy Stardust desk that we used for the first single, Hey Christo. I guess just knowing that gave us a bit of an edge and sort of influenced the music naturally as well. So I guess, you know, it's like when we walked into Abbey Road, immediately, you know, you walk into Studio 2 and you've got all of that gear there, and you've got, you know, the piano that you've seen McCartney and Lennon play, and you've got, like, you know, just got all this amazing equipment, and you're looking up at the sort of control room that you've seen, you know, thousands of times in different documentaries and on pictures and whatever else, and you can kind of smell the history in that studio as well. And then naturally you just kind of, I mean, we just felt so comfortable, you know, and at home, just knowing that all these great musicians that we loved and appreciated had, you know, walked through those doors. And, you know, there's no doubt it sort of influences the music, your mood, your vibe, everything, you know, the way you sort of deliver your words or play your guitar, everything, you know, it's there. And it's like a building absorbing, you know, the energy of the people who've passed through it, I guess. You know, it works. It's great, you know.
It's so inspiring. As soon as you walk through the door, you just feel inspired to work and do your best.
I guess they don't have the white lab coats these days around Abbey Road, though.
No, not that I saw.
It's the only thing missing. But, you know, it's not like you all took the easy way out on this, though. I mean, you know, in the modern way of doing a record, a lot of people will build it from the ground up. But did I read right that you all still decided to record this live? I mean, you have to know the songs, yeah, if that's true. Like, you, to me, it would seem like, yeah, you have to know those songs.
Yeah, we had to really have our shit together.
We didn't want any overdubs, you know. That was the thing. We wanted to sort of capture the energy of a band playing live and playing those songs, you know, recording in a way that felt natural. And if we made mistakes, and those mistakes were going to be included on those songs, you know, because that was just what happened, and, you know, kind of thing. And, you know, that it's like you're sort of trying to work out the best way to capture the energy you have when you're performing a song, you know, for the first time or whatever. You know, you're just trying to just kind of really feel it and somehow deliver it on record. And I guess for me, it was the first time where I suppose I've ever felt that personally been able to do that. I know Andy's done that before, but for me, it was just like, wow, you know, we've really captured this. And, you know, we didn't do any overdubs. We used everything we recorded, and that was it. And we did a few takes of each song. We walked in there at 9 a.m., started recording at 10, and finished at 10 p.m. at night, you know, and we just kept on playing the set back to back, having a 15-minute break, going back in and recording again, and just hammering through. And, you know, in a way, I kind of remember reading about, you know, obviously the Beatles recording like that way back in their early days as well. And I just thought that would be a great way to kind of do it. And, you know, we had to rehearse hard, didn't we, Andy? I mean, we were hours rehearsing the song. So
yeah,
it was a cool way to do it.
It was definitely tough, but, you know, worth it. I think the outcome shows our power and determination to make a great record.
Does both of you being DJs, does that lend anything specific to the project? Because it is rock music with a dance groove.
Not at all. I would say not at all.
No. I guess the only way it does is, yeah, like you say, it's got the groove and stuff. I suppose when we're choosing a set list, when we're choosing, like, you know, which track follows another track, when we've been, you know, choosing which single's coming next, that kind of thing, you naturally sort of have that experience from a tune selection point of view to which songs work with each other after each other and stuff. So I guess, you know, in that way, then it does influence, you know, that stuff.
Yeah, I agree, Kat. Yeah, it's more for reference. We definitely made a few references along the way.
It's like a tune selection point of view. But, you know, obviously there's a dance groove there. There's a group, you know, but that's just something that, you know, we've been influenced by. And again, it's just very natural. It's not something that's overthought.
Yeah.
It's not something that we're sitting there trying to, you know, plan. It's just the way it's worked, and we're like, great, that works, that sounds good, brilliant, let's go with that, and that's it.
Well, you know, I compliment the songs we've heard so far have been so much fun. Lost and Found, I mean, that solo, by the way, has such a great classic feel to it. I love the way the song builds up. And Kev, did I have the quote right? I mean, at some point you called this like the song of my life. Is that accurate?
I did say that. That's what it is. It really, you know, from a lyrical point of view, and the energy that's put into that song, it's, if I had to sort of pull together a description of my life, then that would be the 3.5-4 minute audio version, sound recording version of me trying to explain as much as I can from a sonic point of view, I guess. That's a song that I would say personally describes a lot of stuff. And actually, from a point of view that it was the first song we recorded, and there was a lot of stuff that was happening behind the scenes, and there's a lot of stuff that we've dealt with over the last couple of years that, you know, stuff we can't talk openly about, but stuff that goes on in everybody's lives, you know, it's just, you know, standard, everybody has to deal with stuff, then, you know, you pour that energy into the music. And I think, you know, we've been good at turning negatives into positives when it comes to expressing ourselves musically.
Well, you know, I'll ask further on that too, because the stories of your life, I mean, I with the single LA Vampire, Kev, I know you're based in LA at the time, and is that based on true stories, what we're hearing in here?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. You know, I love LA, you know, and LA's been really good to me. And, you know, it's somewhere that I really feel at home. But the experiences, again, it's more of a tongue-in-cheek song, more of a kind of a bit of a, you know, comedy sort of, taking a comedy point of view, you know, taking the mic rather than being too serious about characters. Because, you know, on a daily basis, you bump into people who influence you constantly. And in LA, you know, there's a lot of dreamers, especially, I suppose, in the old days, you know, a lot of dreamers move to LA. They, you know, they have big ideas that they want to take on the world in a way, you know, from a personal point of view, and achieve something massive, really. And there's a lot of people who feed off that energy as well, sometimes in a negative way, sometimes in a positive way. And it's about sort of building those relationships, and sometimes if they do go down, the negative route. They can suck the life out of you, and that can sometimes be the LA vampire, you know, so not necessarily fangs and a cloak and, you know, someone who's going to pop up and bite you kind of thing, but more to do with people who may represent that in a more, you know what I mean.
I mean, there are parts in LA where you could have someone with fangs pop up and bite you. Not that that's what you're talking about, but I think those pockets do exist.
That's true. That is true. Very true. Yes. And I have, met a few people with fangs as well in LA. So, there you go.
Well, we are certainly enticed with this trio of tracks. What can we expect? I mean, do all three of these lead up to a full album, or are you going to keep the singles party going? And what's the plan?
Well, we've got a singles party going at the moment, so we're going to release another track. The next song is a song called Love City, and that's going to be coming out in February. We've got a remix of Lost and Found that's going to be released at some point in the next sort of couple of months as well. And then we've been doing the documentary, so all the stuff we shot at Abbey Road, and we've had a film crew with us for the last, I guess it's going to be nearly a year soon. So that's coming to a conclusion soon. And so we'll be releasing that as well. And then the live EP from Abbey Road. So we've got a lot of stuff in the pipeline, but it's just, you know, when and what's coming next. But for now, the next single will be a song called Love City.
Is this the main focus for the both of you right now, or do you consider this sort of like the side project? Is this the main band or the side dish?
Definitely the main band for me. You know, this is our band. This is our main project.
This is it. Yeah.
Well, I love what I've heard so far. Again, I can't wait to hear what comes next, because these three tracks have been so cool to listen to. The magic that you all make together is certainly very special, and I'm so happy you found each other. That's what I'm trying to say.
That's very kind of you. I really appreciate it. That's really great, that you're putting up the music, because that's kind of why we do it. So, that means a lot to us.
Now I need a tissue. I'm having a moment.
We'll all have that moment. It's been a pleasure talking to you both today. Thank you all so much for the music and taking the time.
All right.
Nice one.
You're welcome.
All right. Take care. Mm-hmm. All the best.
My thanks, Andy Rourke, Cav of Blitz Vega. Again, three singles out right now. Hey Christo, Lost and Found, and LA Vampire, as you hear, a fourth one on the way, and a documentary as well. Looking forward to that. And thanks to you for checking out the episode and the series. Before you get out of here, I hope that you do give us a review and a rating if you can do that. And subscribe. If you're not subscribed, you can do so wherever you get your podcast from. That does include iTunes and Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Acast, Podchaser, Stitcher, etc., etc., etc. And after that, head to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, and bonus interviews. That's WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound has your music and film news. You can also find me on social media at Kyle Meredith. Wherever you social media from, that is where you'll find me, at Kyle Meredith. That does it for another edition of Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.